Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. I'm always fascinated by little things like this, and this is a little thing, a little postage stamp. One might even argue that postage stamps are quaint, a thing of the past in our age of electronic communication with one another, instant communication, and yet the post office still puts out postage stamps, and you can find just about anything on there that you want. If you're a stamp collector, you're very interested in these kinds of things. And I think maybe 10 or 20 years ago, no one would have batted an eye at the image of Mother Teresa on a stamp. After all, we do have other great figures, humanitarian and religious figures, on stamps in the past. And yet there's an atheist group that is concerned that the U.S. Postal Service in August is set to release a Mother Teresa stamp. Joining us to talk about this and the controversy surrounding the stamp, Colleen Carol Campbell. She's fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. She joins us to talk about Mother Teresa on a stamp. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
There's a campaign against this stamp by some atheists. What do the atheists believe this stamp with Mother Teresa's picture on it represents?
Well, they believe that it's an honoring of a specific religious figure, and in doing so, it's violating our separation of church and state. That's basically their complaint in a nutshell. Certainly, they don't have a problem with most of the other stamps being issued this year, including one of Sunday comic staple Beetle Bailey or atheist actress Katharine Hepburn. But when it comes to Mother Teresa, they don't believe that her humanitarian work warrants this because they say it was influenced by her faith. And being a Roman Catholic nun, she doesn't deserve to be honored this way.
Colleen, have these atheists raised similar objections to stamps that bear the image of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.?
Well, they haven't, at least as far as I know, and that's probably because MLK's stamp came out in 1979, and I think things weren't quite so ridiculous in the United States in terms of our fanatical attention to separation of church and state in 79 than they are today. So perhaps if that's stamp were unveiled today, he would be coming under the same kind of fire, although he is in some ways an untouchable figure in our culture, and unfortunately Mother Teresa is not, despite her very good work and her commitment to serve people regardless of their religious beliefs. She's certainly not a sectarian figure, but she is in many senses a religious figure, and for these groups, that makes her unworthy of this honor.
What does the post office actually have by way of rules as to promoting, if you will, religion through the stamp images that they choose?
Well, postal regulations do include a stipulation that a stamp should not honor, and their language is honor, religious institutions or individuals whose principal achievements are associated with religious undertakings or beliefs. So the folks at the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is spearheading this anti-Mother Teresa campaign, have seized on that particular regulation and said that that her work was, her principal achievements were associated with religious beliefs. Well, in a sense, they're right, and it's put the Postal Service in the uncomfortable position of trying to argue that Mother Teresa was not particularly connected to her faith in terms of her good works. In fact, the Postal Service spokesman told Fox News that he said this has nothing to do with religion or faith. Well, you know, it does. Mother Teresa certainly said that her good work always flowed from her love for Jesus Christ. So we have a bit of a conundrum here, and I think what it points to is the regrettably narrow wording of the postal regulations, which perhaps could be reworded in such a way as to accommodate someone as good as Mother Teresa, whom the vast majority of Americans admire very much. But if you go word for word, letter by letter, that unfortunate regulation does tend to make the stamp harder to argue for, and again, put the Postal Service in the position of trying to say that Mother Teresa wasn't doing this for her faith, which, of course, we all know she was.
Well, is there a third option here? It sounds like one, as you said, the Postal Service kind of has to revise history a little bit. I mean, who's going to deny that this is a woman motivated completely by her faith? Although, as you said, she's the least sectarian figure like this in recent history. Or the atheist saying, well, you're just promoting religion. What is the best solution here?
Well, I think what we have to do is maybe take another look not only at those Postal Service regulations, but at this broader question of how do we understand the role of religion in public life. This is something, of course, you and I discuss frequently, but when we see how it's applied in situations like these, we see the problems with this very strident separationism that has taken hold in our culture, where we can't even honor someone who was voted in 1999 as the most admired person of the century by Americans, surpassing even MLK, JFK, all of the rest, and yet we can't honor her because we have to argue she had no religious motivation for her good deeds. So I think what this says, one solution, of course, again, is revisiting those postal regulations and writing them in such a way that the same general idea maybe gets across. We're not honoring sectarian figures without excluding people like Mother Teresa from being honored, but also taking a larger look at how this campaign by atheist activists has really undermined what our founding fathers had in mind when they said that they wanted a nation where religion was not regulated by or pushed by the state. But, you know, we're in a nation now where if you're motivated by your religious beliefs, you are liable to get less recognition and fewer honors, even if you deserve them, than someone who is motivated by a lack of belief. So it's really gotten to be a strange situation where, again, we have Homer Simpson has his own stamp. You know, we have Frankenstein has his own stamp, and yet Mother Teresa can't have hers.
What does it say about the atheist or the new atheist movement in general, and this group in particular, that they would go after something as small as a postage stamp most of the time, rendered obsolete by electronic means of communication? And I doubt many, except for when they buy the stamps, many pay attention to what's on the stamps they put on their letters.
Well, I think it certainly shows that they're silly and petty, and neither of those qualities are surprising to those of us who've been watching these atheist activists for a few years. I mean, these are people who crusade like crazy to get Christmas carols out of public schools while they push condom distribution in those same schools, and they fight over microscopic crosses on city seals and stage sit-ins over manger scenes on Town Hall Square. So this is a movement motivated by a lot of anger and I think a lot of pettiness. The problem is they've been so successful that you don't see those manger scenes or those little crosses on city seals. You don't hear the Christmas carols, and there aren't a lot of targets left for them, and so they have to resort to protesting postage stamps. So in a sense, this is really a sign to us of how successful they've been, that they can go after something like this. They get more and more brazen, and there really is no limit to what they will attack and how petty they will get to make sure that God is not in our public square in any way, shape, or form, even in the form of an honor for a humanitarian figure like Mother Teresa. So I think we have to remember that when we're appeasing these groups, even though some of these symbolic fights seem kind of petty for us to engage in as well as them, it's important to remember that there is no end point for these groups. They will just keep going and going until literally religion is completely absent from our public square, not even a hint of it, not even in the motivations of those we honor for their secular good works. So I think we need to push back on these symbolic fights, and I think we need to worry about a climate that's being stoked in our nation where believers feel defensive and embarrassed about standing up to defend figures as non-controversial as Mother Teresa because it requires us to admit that they were motivated by their faith. That should be something that not only she was able to be proud of, but we should be proud of when defending her.
With about 30 seconds here, Colleen, make the case that society is better with religion's presence in the public square, albeit with that caveat of the separation of church and state, that society is better off with religion's presence and voice there.
Well, I think all we need to do to make that case is to look at a figure like Mother Teresa or indeed the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., both of whom showed the world that love of God has to bear fruit in social consequences and love of neighbor. We would not have the abolitionist movement. We would not have the pro-life movement. We would certainly not have had the civil rights movement had people of faith been marginalized the way that atheist activists want us to marginalize them today. And it's important to remember, too, that religious actors in the public square are the ones who remind government, hey, you're not the final authority, and the rules you make are not the final rules. They are always subject to God's law, to a higher law. It's that prophetic voice in the public square that religious believers have always brought. And when we kick them out of the public square, we lose that prophetic voice as well. And then we begin to lose and see the erosion of our own civil rights. So there's a good case to be made for keeping religion in America's public square.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read her columns at issuesetc.org. Colleen, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, Pastor Todd Peppercorn joins us. We're doing a series with him every week, a 7-part weekly series on the penitential Psalms. Psalm 32 is where we're going to stop for the last half hour of Issues, Etc. today. If you got questions or comments for the next half hour as we talk about the penitential Psalms, our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. We can get your questions via Twitter at IssuesETC, or you can send us your questions or comments right here in the studio via email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Dr. Frank Beckwith of Baylor University about Christians and politics. He's got a great book called Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft. That's tomorrow on Issues, Etc. When we come back, these psalms confess sins. These psalms are realistic. They're about a real person struggling with their sin. These psalms, the penitential psalms, are about the real Christian life. We'll hear more from Pastor Todd Peppercorn. Stay tuned. If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kishnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page and click Share This.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Pro-life youth take action for the unborn.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Lila Rose is a 20-year-old attending school at UCLA, but her days are not like those of your typical college student. While she attends classes like everyone else, she spends much of her free time going undercover. Sound like she works for the CIA? She doesn't. Lila Rose works with a group called Live Action, which uses new media and educational presentations to celebrate life and expose threats posed against the vulnerable and defenseless. Tune in next time to see how this group of young pro-lifers is taking on America's largest abortion business.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.